Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Cullen Steele in studio. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We'll have on with us the senior writer from Go247 covering the LSU Fighting Tigers, Glenn West. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. I hope you got better news than what I just gave on the Saints injury list. And I don't know what it is with LSU and Saints, but, man, they've had receivers going down left and right. So give me some good news on LSU's receiving core.
Yeah, I kind of half thought about driving down to New Orleans and knocking on the practice facility for an open tryout if they were having them down there.
Well, I couldn't miss you if I threw it to you. I might be short, but I wouldn't overthrow you.
Yeah, that's the line of thinking I was going with there. But, yeah, look, I mean, LSU, I think from an injury perspective, they're on the up and up. They're on the upswing there. It looks like C.J. Daniels is going to play for him this week at Arkansas. Chris Hilton is questionable, but things are still progressing in a positive way. There have been no setbacks there. But I think we've also gotten to the point with Chris. Unfortunately, it's just you'll believe it when you see it and when he's out there. So hopefully that's sooner than later. But they'll have CJ back out there, and that's kind of the big one that they were missing last week against Ole Miss, but they'll get him back in the fold, and we'll see if they can kind of mix things up from a passing game perspective. I mean, the big kind of revelation earlier this week from Brian Kelly was that freshman tight end Tre'Davious Green is going to be used as more of a receiver here going forward, so that's obviously another big-time passing weapon here for Nussmeier as they kind of move forward with the second half of their schedule.
Glenda, I look at it this way. You sort of used him as a receiver before. You're just flanking him out a little bit longer. Come on, he ain't throwing no inline blocks. He's a flex tight end. And so I think that transition is going to be pretty smooth for Tre'Davious. And just he gives you that big body guy downfield, especially in short yardage red zone where, you got a mismatch downfield trying to cover a 6'7" guy.
Yeah, look, I mean, he has three catches this year, and two of them have been for touchdowns down in the red zone. So I think that gives you a pretty good indication of how they ideally want to use him. I think he's going to be a guy that you see in those short yardage red zone situations where they either want to go score or they want to get a first down or keep moving the chains, whatever it is that they're trying to look for on a play. And I think you can split him out to the slot. I think you can even, really test him out wide, too, and see if you can't go up and make a contested jump ball on a flare route or something. I mean, he's just got such a wide, wingspan, and just the point of attack with the ball is just it would be hard for Nussmeier to miss him. Let's just put it that way. So I think he's going to be a valuable tool for LSU as they kind of move forward here. But again, he's somebody that hasn't caught a whole ton of passes yet. He's still relatively new to the game as a whole, so there's probably going to be a little bit of a learning curve there as well. So we'll see exactly how many snaps he's out on the field for this weekend, but it is nice to see that LSU wants to get him on the field more. They want to utilize his skill set, which is being a big-bodied receiver, somebody that can go up and catch a pass, and I think he can make a few more plays for you here down the stretch when you need him most.
Glenn, the revelation on the field has been over the past couple of weeks, we've seen steady progress on the defensive side of the football, and you can point toward two dudes, Whit Weeks at linebacker and Braden Swenson coming off the edge. So kind of give us a little thought pattern on that. A lot of people last year, I know, man, they were calling the shows, and my eyes weren't deceiving me. Every time Whit Weeks was on the field, he was making plays, and you wanted to see more of him. Swenson's been more of the revelation he started at Oregon. We didn't see this type of production from him. And now you see the maturity. And I notice it's his ability to attack a blocker and then counter check him a little bit. He's got a couple of moves now. He was just a speed guy before. I'm going to beat you off the edge with my speed. And he can still do that, but he's got a move or two in the bag that he uses today that he didn't have a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you mention him and you bring up the fact that he's been more of a speed guy in his past. I mean, one of the things that he talked with us about, and we got a chance to spend some time with him yesterday, he just talked about the different ways that Kevin Peoples has been able to kind of unlock a number of his different pass rush moves that he didn't even know that he had. I mean, he's really gone to work this year, I think, on just diversifying his rush adding some power to the mix as well. I mean, he's been a really well-versed pass rusher for this team, and they've been lining him up on the edge. They've been bringing him up through the middle sometimes. He's been a very versatile guy for them at that edge rusher spot. And, yeah, it's a major credit to him and kind of the way that LSU has used him this year. They've really unlocked something there. And, I mean, he's on pace right now to kind of challenge Arden Key for that number one all-time sacks list in a single season. And if, you know, we'd gone into the season and that would have been the guy that we picked, I don't know what the odds would have been on that, but they probably would have been pretty high on Braden Swinson being the guy that would, you know, potentially have double-digit sacks for LSU this year. So,
well, it wouldn't have been Powerball, but it would have been lottery.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It would have been up there for sure. And so he's done a fantastic job for him. And then you mentioned Whit Weeks there. Obviously, since Harold Perkins went down in particular, LSU has really leaned into those two linebacker sets or schemes with Greg Penn and Whit Weeks kind of manning the middle there. And Whit had just a phenomenal breakout performance here against Ole Miss, 18 tackles. Forced fumble, had the big sack there in the fourth quarter to kind of send it to overtime. So he's been, I think, everything LSU was hoping for in terms of his second year development. He's a sideline to sideline guy. He's got great speed, and I think he's somebody that, you know, can run fit well. You know, that's been a little bit of a struggle for him. I think early in the season was just fitting the runs, but that's going to be an area here, especially against Arkansas this weekend, where those two guys, Greg Penn and Whit Weeks, they're going to need to be on their P's and Q's in that respect. So Weeks has been a really great, you know, kind of breakout candidate. I think he was going into the year. And now, unfortunately, with Perkins being out, you know, you've seen him elevate his game, elevate his role, and really step up when this defense has needed him most.
The other guy, too, on defense would be Zay Alexander. This is less than a year from ACL surgery, and I know that's a pretty extensive surgery when you have that ACL tear and you go in, and normally it's over a year before you can hit back on the field. And to watch him Saturday, and you know he's not close to 100%. He's more in the 75 to 80 range, but man, he's a football player, and he has size, matchup ability, and he's got these real long arms that he can knock that ball away. But he plays the ball like a receiver when it's in flight.
Yeah.
I like to see that. He's one of the few guys on LSU at corner. At least he gets his head turned around, and he plays it like a wide receiver. Man, I can't tell you how much respect I have for Zay Alexander to come back from that type injury in less than a year and to be the playmaker he was Saturday night against Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was absolutely critical and a big reason why LSU won that game. I mean, the game ball was given to him afterwards, and you know, Brian Kelly really highlighted his performance, his play, as being a critical reason why LSU won that game. I mean, think about this. He not only was coming off that knee injury, he had a concussion a couple weeks ago, and so he was going through protocol for a week or two. He probably wasn't able to practice as much and, you know, kind of in the weeks leading up to that game. And then on game day, LSU's defense plays 87 snaps, and Zay Alexander is out there for every single one of them. I mean, he was absolute workhorse for them in the secondary against Ole Miss. And yeah, I thought coming into the year, he would be the guy that once they got him healthy and got him rolling, the best version of this secondary would really start to show itself. And, I think that's proving to be true. I think he's somebody that when you have him out there with Ashton Stamps, that's kind of probably your best 1-2 punch at cornerback. I think TJ Woodland, J.K. Johnson, those kind of guys can spell them at times. But I think Stamps and Alexander is a duo that can kind of hold their own here in the SEC. And you know, it's been all three levels of the defense really that have really stepped up in the last couple of games. You'd like to see it translate on the road here against an Arkansas team that is very physical and likes to run the ball and is a pretty balanced attack from an offensive passing and run game perspective. So it's going to be a great challenge for those guys to kind of carry this thing on the road and see if they can't continue to build some momentum here.
Glenn, final question for you. And this is one of these games Saturday. It's a pain in the yuck to be. because you used to catch Arkansas right after Alabama, okay? And the emotional part of getting up for a big game like that, and then, come on, you're not going to play at that same level emotionally. Now you got up for a big game against Ole Miss, and now you got to travel to Arkansas to play a team that has always been a physical team. You got more talent than they do, but they're physical up front, offensive, defensive lines. They can hit you with the running game. Their passing game is sort of rode the roller coaster, and there's some issues maybe in the secondary for them. But it's one of those games that, you know, that always sort of scares you as a coach. And this is where you got to lean on the leaders of your team to say, hey, look, everything everybody's been telling you on the streets about how great you played Saturday against Ole Miss will go right out the window if you lose Saturday to Arkansas.
Yep, absolutely. That's a great point. That's a great point to bring up there. And we talked with Josh Williams on Tuesday night, and we asked him just kind of what kind of things do you tell the team, the locker room, as a leader of this team, somebody who's played in this game for the last 5 years? And he says he's expecting a dogfight, and he has relayed that message to every single one of the players that he comes across in that locker room. I think what we've learned here about the SEC over the first month, it is very difficult to win on the road. And if you get down by a couple scores on the road, it's almost lights out. And LSU proved a couple weeks ago that they can come back from those kinds of deficits, but it's not the kind of fire you want to be playing with every single week on the road. So this is going to be very important for LSU to kind of flush the emotions of last weekend, move on, regenerate that energy into an opponent like Arkansas that, to your point, is very physical. It seems like they really love playing for Sam Pittman. Sam Pittman, I think coming into this year, there was no coach in the SEC that was on a hotter seat. And here they are, they're sitting at 4-2. I think they're kind of one of the surprises of league play so far. Had a big win a couple weeks ago against Tennessee, and they're riding some momentum right now. So you've got to go in there and treat this thing with the utmost respect and care. And if you can get past these next couple weeks, these A&M and Arkansas games, you have to really like LSU's chances at that point of making a real legit run at this thing and proving that they're contenders and not pretenders.
Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. Every time I see Sam Pittman, I know he's not from the Bayou, but he reminds me of somebody that I grew up with on the Bayou. Man, let's go have a little taste here and there and a click of a beer or two and have a good time and go eat a cheeseburger or two or whatever. He's one of those type of guys, one of those good old
Seems
boys.
Like a good hang.
Yeah.
Like a good hang.
And he looked like a storyteller. And that's the other part. If you wanted to hang out, you want somebody to tell you some stories, and Sam Pittman got it. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And at least you gave us some good injury news because we've been suffering on that part from the Saints side of the field.
Yeah.
Thanks for
Fingers
your time, Glenn.
They find something. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it. Glenn West, senior writer for Go247.com, covering the LSU Tigers.